Blog Talk Radio.
Check, check, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
On Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Somebody check, check, check. Talk, 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 check.
I can hear it. Yeah. Sounds great. And that's the volume.
You guys are sharing one. That's the volume. Are we? I can hear myself. Hello, Alexa.
Wow.
Buy me a dog.
Are we okay? So we're both on one thing.
Oh no, no.
Does it sound good?
Just the headphones are on one.
Oh right.
Yes.
Okay, Rob.
This is Rob.
Hello. How are you? No headphones.
I've started doing just mic checks that are all just me listing things that are on like the Taco Bell menu.
Right. Yeah.
Cinestics.
Cinestics. 1, 2, 3.
Check. 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 Talk. Talk.
Well, check, 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 check. Sino sticks.
Crunch wrap. Chicken crunch wrap.
Mexi melt.
And Cherrito.
Mountain Dew.
Burrito Supreme.
Gordita
Supreme.
That thing where you take all the sodas and put them in one cup, but you only do it at Taco Bell.
Suicide. Suicide at Taco Bell.
I like how
Suicide Baja Blast.
Suicide at Taco Bell is my solo.
We're all talking like
Suicide Baja Blast.
We're all talking like NPR hosts.
That's
right?
The.
Right. That's
yeah, no, let's. Can we do the entire podcast?
Ira Glass here. Taco Bell menu.
Hello, affluence. Hello,
affluence.
Terry
Gross. We're going to talk to you today about dolphin jazz.
Okay.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. We've got the guys from 2 Minutes to Late Night sitting in today. 2 Minutes to Late Night? Isn't that how Rob refers to the night he lost his virginity? Hi-o. Enough of the jokes. It's time for the Metal Injection Livecast.
Enough of the jokes.
Rob,
the jokes are getting started.
Rob lost his virginity? That's, we're breaking news here.
Is Bland implying that that it took me 2 minutes to lose my virginity?
That's what it sounded.
And I started at 11:58.
Yes, that's what
it's pretty good for your virginity.
Yeah, it's your first time.
Well, thank you guys. Thank
Buddy.
You for all the support. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. We have some very special guests sitting in with us this evening. First, let's introduce the regulars. Of course, me, Rob, here with Devious Darren Delgado. So devious today, 3D. Then we have Sydney.
Hey.
But we call him Sid. Then we have the lovely Noah.
Hi.
Noah's a
just last minute
host
plugging.
Slash producer. And we have special guests, the producers of 2 Minutes to Late Night, the top, the number one heavy metal late night talk show. Coincidentally, also the only heavy metal late night talk show. We have Jordan.
Hello.
And Andrew, or Drew.
Just Drew. But
just Drew.
You can call me whatever you like.
If we could call you Andy, that'd be adorable.
It's not my name, but you can call me anything that's not my name. It's a free country for now.
Cowbag.
We're here with Cowbag.
Hey,
Jordan Cowbag on the live cast. And of course, you can be on the live cast. All you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 213-WIDE-NUT. That's 213-943-3688. And you can also Skype us. Metal Injection Livecast is our username. Gentlemen, 2 minutes to Late Night. 2 episodes in already. It's been a year. Wow, you guys are really churning these out at a dangerous pace.
Yeah, it's weirdly, it's the anniversary of the first thing we posted that's related to 2 Minutes to Late Night, the Mutoid Man on the Train video.
A lovely clip. And so 2 minutes. So it's the idea is, a late night talk show if it were just about metal, but it's a comedy show about metal, right? That would be a fair How would you guys describe it? How about I let you guys
yeah.
do it?
Yeah, I'd say it's more of like a comedy show about a metal talk
yeah.
show. It's becoming more of like a show about a talk show, I'd mm-hmm. say.
Wow.
Like Larry Sanders.
Yeah.
It's like the metal Larry Sanders.
Oh, God, I love that.
That's all I wanted to hear. I'm going to go now.
Yeah, we're done. Goodbye, everybody. But no, yeah, I think that that's like it's metal themes, but yeah, we definitely we don't want to just like the
it's
goal
not
is
a serious discussion about metal, much like the Metal
yeah.
Injection Livecast is not.
100%.
Yeah.
We also like to bring in like other music. We think like the main thing about the show for me at least is that metal is very fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite part about the genre of music
mm-hmm.
is that it's just exciting and fun, and we like to invite other genres of music to also come and have fun
mm-hmm.
and also bring comedy. Like it just,
you had our friend yeah. Dave Hill on your second show.
Yeah, we did.
He was great as usual.
Yeah. Mutoid Dad, right?
Mutoid yeah. Dad.
Love Dave Hill.
Love Dave Hill. Fun thing about Dave Hill is I actually, like when we were first putting together the show, we approached Dave Hill to actually host the show before
mm-hmm.
we found Guarsenio.
Mm-hmm.
So initially, like we've been talking to Dave Hill about being a part of the show ever since the first day we had the idea.
And how did you guys learn about Dave Hill? How did you know he was a comedian type person?
I had known about him for about 2 years, but Drew has knew about him for a really long time.
I had a friend in college who's probably not listening to this, and he he's very successful now. Was like, hey, I know you like metal. You should check out this thing. And it was Dave Hill did the black metal
yes.
dialogues where he would like,
oh, the best.
He would like email black metal bands pretending to be this band called Witch Taint and just say the most ridiculous things to them. And they would respond with like full anger caps lock.
Yes. And he's actually doing readings of that live.
Yeah.
He's doing one
yeah, yeah.
Thursday.
It's amazing.
Union Hall.
So funny.
Pretty wonderful.
But so we reached out to him because we had the idea for the show, and we got like German food with him, and it was like really cool. And he was the one who came up with the idea for the Weather at Danzig's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, you should just put a camera in front of Danzig's house because he would hate it. And then we tried to put together like context for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we were writing.
For those that haven't seen it, I should mention you do weather updates from Danzig's.
Yeah, we have.
That's the bit.
Yeah.
The bit is that, we sent one weatherman to L.A., and he has not left Danzig's house. So he's just been there the whole time. Even when we're not, like, the show happens in, like, real time, like, he's mm-hmm. been out there just for a year.
Right.
And he's the only weatherman in corpse paint.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What do you mean corpse paint?
Oh, that's just how he is,
that's
his natural skin tone?
Yeah, everyone on the show, except for Nick, because we want to keep up, that's just what their face looks like.
Oh, okay.
Like, no, I'm in human paint right now. I have to put on peach paint to go outside. Otherwise, people think I'm like a juggalo and they want to bum Newport cigarettes for me.
So you're admitting on air that you are Guarsenio?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have no shame.
Oh yeah, no. I'm really Guarsenio. I have
Jordan
to go outside
alter,
and yeah.
It's like a Superman Clark Kent thing. If Superman was really shitty and Clark Kent was also very shitty.
Yeah.
Completely understood.
If they both sucked at everything.
So, but how did you guys come up with the idea even to do a talk show about heavy metal or heavy metal themed?
I got hit by a car.
Yeah, he got hit by a car. And then I was the initial idea I came up with when we were doing a when I was coming up with a music video for a local band called Godmaker. Like they saw that I used to work at Victory Records. Ugh. and shoot a couple like hardcore metal videos and I offered to help them out, but they can't. I was listening to all their songs and they're really good. They're a really solid local doom metal band, but all of their songs are like 9 minutes and they didn't have any money, so it was kind of like how do we do not just a performance video for something that's 9 minutes long. And I came up with like an idea that I thought would be funny if we did like a, if it just looked like an old VHS taping of like a, of like a musical performance on like a 90s talk show, but that was like satanic themed. I thought it'd be fun. It'd be a fun way to just kind of like shoot. Like it would be like the set would look bad. I actually, I kind of wanted to design it after like a Sharon Needles music video that I saw. But yeah, no, that was the initial idea for like the concept,
the birth of the seed of the idea.
Yeah, and then I just kind of liked the idea so much that I wanted to make it, and I like Drew's my roommate and like the funniest person I know. And the only person
is that
who
true,
I...
Drew? Are you the funniest person? Yet?
I have to recuse myself from this conversation.
he's just that's actually how we became friends is because we were.
Did he recuse himself?
We were. He recused himself
from other conversations. So you're like, all right, I guess I'll talk to this guy.
He recused himself from going to college. And I knew Drew's brother, and he was like, oh, you like the same garbage music that my brother listens to. You need to meet him. And we both just were hanging out, eating dumplings and making fun of Every Time I Die in kind of the same way. So I was like, yeah, all right, he gets it.
Yeah, you had a mullet at the time.
I did have a mullet.
It was like 2 years ago.
What's with mullets?
Well, it was 2009, which meant it was the 80s again.
Yeah.
So everyone was having
mullet. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
And so how did Mutoid Man get involved? Because Mutoid Man is your house band, a fantastic band, I guess from Brooklyn, right?
That's it. Yeah. They're
lovely.
Everybody writes that they're a band from Boston, but Nick has never lived in Boston.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything.
Only
in
Ben
Boston.
Lives in Boston, right?
Ben,
where does he live in Brooklyn?
Ben lives up.
Upstate. That's right.
That's pretty much Boston.
Yeah. That's kind of Boston. That's where people from Boston go when they're like, fucking Boston. And they leave.
But yeah, so how do they get involved with the show? What do you have on them?
Again, I have to recuse myself from this conversation.
I'd been listening to them for a while, and we saw their Drew and I went to see a live show there at St. Vitus, and Ashwood, I had never seen anything like that. I've never seen a band like that animated and fun and
they're
actually
fantastic.
Yeah. Who was actually like good at their instruments. I've never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's just like in Animals as Leaders where everybody's guitar is
like
on
their chest.
On their turkey neck, and then they're just looking at the frets and wearing Tommy Bahama or, like, some kind of big anime button-down. I was like, this is the most fun band in the world. And I was just looking stuff up about them the next day, and I had never really listened to Cave-In. I had heard of them. Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I was like, oh! Steve Brodsky
like
is from Cave-In, and I went, he has like a website, and I went to it, and he like, it said that he, at the time, I don't think this exists anymore, but at the time it said that he gave like guitar lessons, and I was wanting to take guitar lessons because I'm a mess at that instrument, and I hit him up, and we started he just started giving me guitar lessons for a while, and We just started talking about
like,
all
you
the
know
sketches.
What, I'm not learning guitar. Why don't you come to a guitar? I'm never going to get better.
He made
me
a much better guitar player, and eventually, like, just because we were talking about, I was working at Vice at the time when I met him, and I was pitching a lot of, like, noisy ideas, and we just started, and he had also done stuff over there, and for a lot of the ideas that I was pitching that were comedy based, he's like, you need to meet my bass player because he's an insane person and hilarious and an asshole. And that's kind of like where the seed was planted. Like maybe we could ask these guys. So when we were coming up with the talk show, we just wanted like Nick to host it. We thought he would be just like a funny guy, but they were all down to be a part of the show in some way. They were like, this sounds great.
And always down everything. They're the best. Like, we ended up with Steve. We did another, like, we shot the pilot in, like, September of 2015.
I think it was like October, yeah.
Yeah. And then so, like, they were like, we want to do more stuff. And we're like, oh, okay, we have to figure out what we're going to do with this pilot first. And then we shot just for fun. Like, we made this little video about, like, the Punisher, if it was, like, the 1960s Batman. Mm-hmm. And that came out, like, in May of the next year, 2016. And we got, you know, Steve and Nick are in it. They both, like, really wanted to be in it. They play, like nameless goons, but also Steve sung the theme song. And they're just always down to do anything. Like, they're so happy to be a part of anything fun, you know?
Yeah, they seem like they're having a great time on the show. It seems like everyone's having a great time on the show. Yeah. How do you guys, what kind of editing tricks do you use to make that so? Make it seem so fun.
You can't ask them that.
cut out all of
bad,
the fight.
Magic bullet.
that's in bad shape. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Cut out all the parts where my mom comes down and says, what are you doing?
Yeah, no, we show everyone an Amy Schumer special, and then we take all the laughter from that and we put it over our show.
So you said you worked at Victory Records.
Yeah.
Victory Records.
Rob has a pair of Mosh shorts that he wears sometimes to the show. Do
you have Mosh shorts?
I do not have Mosh. You're the one with the Mosh booty shorts.
Rob's a big Victory
Records. I was going to wear them today because it's so hot, but I decided to go with these because there's more like airflow.
Good call. Mm. Yeah, it was too hot for all, like, they gave me free booty shorts. It's so, like, yeah, no, I get it. They're constricting. It's a lot.
Yeah, they're that, like, sweatpant material. So in the summertime, it just give a lot of swamp.
Yeah, it acts like a towel. You don't want that.
So how long did you work at Victory?
I was just freelance there when I was, a freshman at SEA.
What was your job? What were you doing?
I was making a documentary for Bury Your Dead at the time when they got their new singer, Mike.
You didn't work like in the office in Chicago?
Oh no. I was in New York.
Oh, okay.
But I would just do it was my main thing is I would just make videos and stuff for them.
Mm,
I would be in the they would be like, we need a video for this band, and I would throw my treatment ideas into a pile with like a bunch of other on hand. Like I was like a, just like on-call. An on-call director person. Yeah.
Got it. So, they owe you a lot of money.
Maybe. I don't know.
I was going to say, Tony Victory is not known for paying his invoices.
That's true.
Relay Manifesto will write you that check.
If you whisper things on the air, by the way, no one, only people you want to know get it.
Right.
Yeah. Perfect.
We had a problem with a Victory where they didn't pay like a year old bill, and we just we just did a public post about it, like, hey, Victory Records hasn't paid a bill, and then that day it got squared away.
My whole thing is like I felt fine talking about it just now because I'm like, there's everyone knows.
Yeah,
it's not a secret that's a problem.
Yeah. Now it's good. I have to say, like, from my perspective, I haven't had a problem.
Yeah, this is a long time ago.
With Victory Records for
now that they have that customer support Twitter that you can tweet it like, "Hey, Victory."
I learned a lot of the people that like everyone that I had direct contact with over there was great though. You're all lovely.
Yeah, there's wonderful people that work there. Yeah. I mean, you know, people need jobs.
Yeah.
Just chest orders. Chest in the chat asks.
Chest.
Chest.
Chest is his name in the chat.
All right.
Chest.
Hello,
are we all going to say it? Chest.
I had an old band in high school, and our singer's nickname was Chest Butt.
Chest Butt. Did he have a butt in his
chest?
Oh.
I don't know why. Like he had.
His chest smelled like butt.
His heart was rotting.
Yeah, I think that's really what it was. Yeah, or maybe he just he like everybody else in who was like a teen kid in high school just had a really poorly done chest piece.
Oh, it was infected.
What kind of bird wings were they?
I couldn't tell you.
I knew a guy when I was in junior high who anytime any girl that had like big breasts, he would call it Chester, and thought it was the funniest thing that was ever written in human history. Hey, Chester! I'm like, you know, people would just stare at him.
I'm sure
like
he picked up a lot of chicks with big boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Shame he's dead now.
So Chest asks, I'm wondering about...
Not Chester.
Not Chester. I'm wondering about the weather at Danzig. So, do you know what the weather at Danzig would be?
Right now?
Right now.
You can check.
It's always 76 degrees.
There's just, he has its own ecosystem going on around
76 there. Degrees, and the lawn hasn't been mowed in 3 years.
It has, yeah.
Do you think he leaves the air conditioner on for his cats?
Good question. Do you think he uses air conditioner, or he just believes in sweating? Like, just
probably believes
odors.
In sweating.
Are they indoor cats or indoor-outdoor, do you think? I feel like...
He got them kitty litter, so...
Well, that doesn't mean anything. They're going to poop inside sometimes regardless. But I'm just saying, like, based on his persona, you would think he would let them outside, you know, be tough. But I bet he's super protective and
he doesn't
let them outside.
Anything outside.
I feel like Dan is the type of person that has black sheets over all of his windows. So these cats get no natural light. They don't even know what natural light is. So if anytime a door creaks open, they have to run the other way because it's so unfamiliar for them.
It's a very sad life.
They live by candlelight.
Yeah, Danzig's a very, like, I imagine wherever his emotions go, that's where his cats go. So not very far.
You know, the inside of his house just looks like Jekyll and Hyde's in the West Village.
Oh, my God.
It also has a dinosaur for some reason. Yeah.
And the Elephant Man's bones.
Does it have the Elephant Man bones?
That was Michael Jackson.
Well, Michael Jackson's
They're
dead now. So he bought them at auction.
They're not the Elephant Man. It's just a Elephant Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's got the bones of an elephant and a man in it.
The Elephant Men.
The other.
Just old roadies that he had no use for anymore. So he just locked them up in the basement until it's just bones.
By the way, it may be raining bricks later on at Danzig's house. That's always a possibility. Mm-hmm.
That's why it's 76 degrees there. That's why he picked that spot. He's like, it's always the temperature. It'll be perfect when I have to go outside and move bricks.
Just wear the mesh tank top.
Ugh.
Do what you got to do.
Truly, the brick story, my favorite thing about it, though, is also that somebody walked past his house and took a photo to prove there were actually bricks outside of his house. There's photographic evidence.
I love that someone was like, no, there's not.
Like, story's
there's
made
no
up.
Bricks, bricks. Get out of here.
Like, I don't believe that.
I don't believe you.
There they are.
Are they still there?
They are not.
They're
gone.
They're long gone.
I think he was just
I think he moved.
Building.
I don't think he lives in that spot anymore. Or is the Jaguar still out there? He has that famously has that black Jaguar.
For the purpose of our show, we're going to say he did not move and is still there.
Oh, my apologies.
Got that guy staking out the wrong house.
No. El Dudorino says 2.5 Elephant Men was Rob's nickname in high school.
Oh.
Hey.
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 Direct.
That guy made fun of your bones.
The number to dial if you're an Elephant Man, 213-WIDE-NUT. 213-943-3688. You actually don't have to be an Elephant Man, but if you're an Elephant Man appreciator, a fan of Elephant Men.
Elephant women, we'll take Elephant women.
Can I ask you about the phone number? Did you guys end up with that phone number, or was just one of you like, look, this is hilarious?
We thought it was that hilarious. It was just we back-engineered a word out of it.
We just needed a quick way to say it. The number was given to us. Like,
We
had no saying it.
But then Darren, who is a whiz at telephone numbers and the words,
my superpower.
And the words that they spell out. There's like there should be a movie made about how he makes perverted.
A beautiful mind.
So is it just
phone numbers?
Is it just like is the joke to you that it's like a wide testicle or like a wide spray of cum? Like
it's a legume, dude.
You know
it's
what? A That's a great question. Because it could go either way. It could be like a very wide load, nut that has been busted.
But it ties
into a busted nut.
It ties into a show meme. That's sort of how we, because you're a ball stretching.
It's true.
Fascination.
Right. I'm into ball stretching.
Rob stretches his balls out for sexual pleasure.
I don't stretch them. I don't know if I've stretched them out.
Your balls or your sack? Actual testicle.
How do you?
I don't know.
Testicles.
You're the expert on ball stretching.
No, stretch testicles is your porn superhero name, by the way.
Oh my God, it's stretch testicles.
No.
All right, we gotta rewind a little bit.
Sure,
that's fine. Let's.
we share a lot.
I did not listen to that episode. So wait a minute. You were genuine. You were not like, you're not just like, you, it's not just fun, like waiting, like do the bat wing thing. It's like, it's a sexual, people like to stretch their ball sack.
Yeah. I mean, well, certain people take it to much more, other people take
Wait,
it to much.
Did anyone notice Bobby Hill just put on a sound effect?
Yeah. I don't take it to such an extreme. It's like, you know, I like to massage them and pull down on them a little to a certain point. But if it gets too painful, then I'm.
When it gets up to his knees, he stops.
Yeah, when it gets up to his knees, too far, too far.
Okay.
But it is a thing. It's someone pointed out, Drusilla, I believe, that I am into some light cock and ball torture. I didn't know that was a CBT. That was one of
the. I know your last name, man, and I know a lot about you now.
Hey, Pasmani. Now you know both.
We're married. Yeah.
Wait,
it's
Drusilla
a,
from
it
Buffy?
Yeah. No, one of our fans.
I was like, that's the best way to find out that you're into some light BDSM is if Drusilla from Buffy tells you.
Rob has already applied for the name change to Rob Paz Ball Torcher. It's already in the works.
How's that going?
That's the evil.
It's hard enough to get a driver's license
of that
in
yeah.
here.
But it's not like I do it every day. It's just a thing I like.
When was the last time?
Yeah. Today.
Really? When was the last time before today?
A few days ago.
Okay. Like one? Is it one?
Yeah.
One?
25 hours ago.
You got to let it tighten back up so you get the sensation the next time.
Right.
You
also,
do it all the time.
Also, it's like, you know, if you...
It's so awkward with people that aren't the four of us in the room.
That's
agree.
Why I like
it.
It's hard
so
to look
it's
at you guys.
That Rob has to make eye contact with both our guests. It's even better.
It sort of feels like when I go out to dinner with my wife and my parents and I'm arguing with my parents the whole time and she's super uncomfortable, but right. I get like a teeny bit of pleasure out of that.
Oh, really?
So like,
wait,
is
it like that?
You're my wife now and I'm having the uncomfortable conversation
ball
with my relative
like,
while you're sitting there.
I don't like that
plus testicles.
Yes.
The pleasure is from your wife being uncomfortable or from just fighting with your parents in front of your
and
wife?
And sort of the performance element of it with, like, an outside party having to suffer through it.
I feel...
Okay.
I'm a bad person.
I don't get,
I'm not lying about shit.
I feel like the only way that it's... I get the line between where what you're talking about and what he's talking about is just, like, I feel like where they meet is, like, if you sit on your balls while watching Meet the Parents.
Fair. All right.
That's it.
Fair.
Fair.
Try it out, guys.
Yeah.
So we were coming up with the character of Kevin the sound guy. We were really...
I'm sorry. Go back to talking about your balls. I'm sorry.
No. I feel everything that needed to be said has been said.
For now.
Well, now you understand our phone number.
To be fair, we were kind of like plowing over it, and you interrupted and brought it back to the ball stretching. So I have to put that out there.
Well, you can't just bring it up and just go like, oh, yeah. By the way.
That's why you stretch out your sack. Once you put it out, it's very hard to bring it back in.
Right.
No, it's fine.
Really?
It's very elastic.
My grandma's listening to this.
Hello.
Grandma, dial us up.
213
wide nut. Let us know if you stretch.
Agnes the sound guy is listening to this. That's still my favorite joke of like the second episode. I don't know why.
I love a good throwaway
urns.
Joke. I love a good throwaway joke.
No one noticed. I don't think it's one of those like there's like subtle tiny jokes that we did in the second episode that are just my favorite. Like just changing the weatherman's name. That we get to call him Weatherman Reese Witherspoon is great. And I liked just naming all of the characters' grandparents.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part.
Utoy
Graham. Popsenio Hall. And Agnes, the sound guy.
I watched the two episodes out of order. I watched episode 2, and then I watched episode 1. So I'll have to go back.
Cool.
And watch it again.
It's like watching. I get. It's probably like watching Memento backwards.
Yeah.
There's a really cool trick where if you put on Dark Side of the Moon and then don't watch our show, you have a great time.
Ooh, I gotta try that.
That's really good.
But I, you know, while I was watching it, I was thinking about how when we, like back in the day, don't know, almost like 15 years ago, we used to have a public access TV show, and we would come up with comedy skits, and I just remembered how fun that was for us. And when I was watching your show, I could definitely tell how much fun you guys were having with it, and it just made it that much better.
Oh, yeah, no, it's the most fun I've ever had in my life is making the show.
Both of you guys are just very creative, like in a like just like very funny, natural way.
Thank you.
That's so sweet of you to say since my grandma's listening.
I'm not saying it for your grandma. I'm saying it because I truly feel it and mean it.
You can say it for his grandma.
Can you say it to Joan directly?
Joan, you should be so proud.
Be proud of your handsome, funny, creative boy. He's as talented as you always thought he was.
And Joan, he wasn't the one talking about the ball stretch.
He was not. He's a
that
good...
was me.
And he wasn't curious about
he's
it.
He's a nice
and
Jewish
I just want
boy.
You to know, Joan.
He has sex through a sheet.
When I was talking about the ball stretching, Joan, he looked very uncomfortable. So don't think I've influenced him in any way.
He went in the other room and read a book when that conversation happened.
I did. That is true.
What is Mrs. Woman? Is it your production company? Like,
we're not going to say it like on the air. Like one of the places that was interested in having the show, we had to fill out like some forms. And it said list a production company name, and just Drew shouted, I don't know, Mrs. Woman, and
an old joke of like what I thought was the best drag name of all time,
Mrs. Woman.
It's pretty good.
Drew and I used to have a drag punk band with our old roommate called Death Bitch, and it was a lot of fun, and we just had like this old one of the first photos. From when literally the first time we ever did the drag was just like we were in this cute flowery room. It was just me and Drew. And we had this like photo of us just in shitty drag, and that's just kind of where like the little logo came from. And we like that name, and we just keep making different. We want to keep making like different stuff.
Yeah.
That's even in the same style of humor as the show or the Punisher sketch or this other weird cartoon we did.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Didn't you have some cartoons on Comedy Central?
I did, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't on the television show. It was television channel. It was on their like their social media, but yeah. Little tiny little cartoons.
One was like a vampire.
Vampire Craig.
Yeah.
Jordan made the music.
Yeah, I wrote for both of them. I wrote like just the little jingles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah, I drew everything. And,
wonderful.
Yeah. How long have you guys been friends?
7 or 8 years?
Yeah, like 8 years now.
There's a little bit where he lived in L.A.
Yep.
And how long have you been dating?
Oh, 2 or 3 months.
How did you meet? How did you guys become friends?
Through his brother, actually. Yeah. I went to college with his brother. Me and his brother didn't have a lot in common, but he was like, you need to meet my brother because you like you both like the same shitty music.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
Speaking of some history, we witnessed some history on the ride over here.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right before we picked up Sid.
That was the coolest New York moment I've ever experienced.
So we're
amazing.
On Bay Ridge Parkway. I can say that.
That's fine.
A long strip.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, we're pulling up to a red light, and we see this, I want to say, Latino, maybe Middle Eastern gentleman, about 20s, mid-20s, chuck a pair of sneakers that are tied together by the string up on a light pole, and he got it on the first try. And we were all like, whoa, look at that. I've never seen somebody actually throw a pair of sneakers on the light pole. You usually just see the aftermath. And, you know, a while back in the day, that used to mean that there were drugs on the block.
Didn't you see that episode of Better Call Saul?
No. What was
when
it?
Mike
spoiler.
I've only seen season one, so
don't
shut the fuck
me.
Up. I'm just kidding.
but Sid, what were you saying about that?
I just thought that was like a thing that didn't happen anymore. I felt like once I heard about a phenomenon like that, that meant it didn't exist anymore.
Once it got to you.
Yeah.
It wasn't secret enough.
Like once I found out about twerking, that was over.
So then the guy kind of walks back to his
car. Right
now this is all within a matter of like no more than 2 minutes because we're at the light.
It's a
long
ass red light.
Maybe a minute, maybe even less.
Yeah,
so
it was quick.
Yeah, it was very quick. And he's like, all his friends are like, well, we're assuming because we had the windows up, like, oh, you did it in one shot. You know, like, oh, that was pretty cool. Yeah,
he got like a little applause.
Yeah.
They
were very happy. And
then just immediately.
Immediately, cops in an undercover car pull up. Like, not non-identified.
Drove the wrong way down the one way and just the whole...
parked in the bus stop.
Lights. You didn't know it was like a transformer.
Like,
it was amazing.
Totally a transformer moment. And then all of those guys' smiles sunk immediately, and they all shit their pants. And the cops,
said one of them looked like DJ Khaled.
Yeah.
God.
He looked the least like a cop.
Yeah.
You ever think.
Yeah. And they were mad.
They were so pissed.
At this point, also, I didn't know about the that means drugs. I was just like, why are these guys so mad? They're just throwing shoes on the wire. They're having like a depression era good time, you know?
I feel like you and also the dude who was smoking a cigarette and wearing the rock hat didn't know that was happening.
That's true.
Either.
He's like, what's your problem?
He was like, the cops are here. I don't know what's going on.
This is the Jew. A telephone ball. What do you want?
And then
did you see it? He did it in one shot. It was amazing.
Oh, put my hands against the car?
Yeah, he thought the cops were coming over to give him all high fives. Like, that was dope.
Like a citation. Key to the city.
But so within 1 minute, it was like, oh, what a cool year. We're like, oh, those guys are fucked.
I think the whole thing together was like just my favorite thing.
The ultimate New York moment.
Oh, ultimate. Yeah. I saw, you said it in the car. It's a 3-act play in 10 seconds.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's like, this is a New York 3-act play.
But, like, let's say they don't have drugs on them. What's the charge?
Vandalism?
Maybe.
Litter?
Littering? I don't know. I mean, it's probably a citation. It's like a ticket. They're not getting thrown in jail.
They were pissed.
But I do believe that their entire car got searched. Like, that's probably
100%.
Like the entire car.
Oh,
was
yeah.
They
all
drove to power lines to throw shoes on.
Yeah, dude.
Was it just like on their block?
Yeah, they were getting
into a
Nissan.
Yeah, they were getting back in a car.
Oh, that seems...
No, but it looked like the guy just had these shoes in the back of his car and was like, I need to get rid of these.
So instead of putting them in the trash or the Salvation Army, which is not too far away from where you were, he threw it on the light pole.
Correct.
Assuming they had.
Wonder if you could get away with that excuse.
Those guys could have been any of us, though. We've all done like something stupid and not.
No way. There's no way I would have gotten it on the first try.
Oh, that's not what I meant. No. I didn't mean that they would successfully do something comparable to basketball because I can't do any of that.
Right.
I just mean like that you do something stupid and like you don't think it's illegal, but it's enough that a cop would get in your face.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no way any of us in this room would ever get thrown in a cop car and handcuffed
and jail
kept
for not
overnight.
Doing drugs.
Yeah.
Oh God. Well, when Drew used to drink, he did. I think my favorite. My favorite weird prank is he would just go to people's trash areas and just take the recycling in the trash and just switch them.
Switch
the bags.
That's a ticket.
It's
for the
people.
It's like a $10 fine.
Yeah.
Only 10?
Yeah.
And you have to go to court.
110.
I hit rock bottom.
I thought it was hilarious. It was really good. That's actually why we wrote the bad guy, the Uncycler, into the Punisher sketch. I think I thought it'd be funny if that was the villain shtick.
Cycling for trash. Life imitates art, and art
evil,
imitates life.
Evil man.
Yeah.
Are you an evil man? An evil woman? Give us a call. 213 Wide Nut. 213-943-3688.
See, it gets laughs.
I think we need to get like you guys a mascot that's just like a fat peanut.
Yeah.
Or a walnut. Just one that grows really wide nut. Yeah.
Call me.
I'm the wide nut.
You know, there's somebody with like a truck nuts company right now. Like, what do you mean I can't have that phone number? Of course I talk like this. You know what I do for a living?
I need wide nut in every area code. Yeah.
It'd be funny if a truck driver just like talked like Jack McBrayer. It would be amazing.
Noah works with truck drivers.
I do.
Do they all talk like that?
Any
like Jack McBrayer?
No, I mean.
Oh, wow. People. I don't know. That's Owen, that's like more Owen Wilson, but
or
that would
Hanky
also be
Christmas
funny
poo.
as a
yeah,
as a truck driver.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Do you have any more tobacco?
Right on. Right on.
How much is sex?
That is a direct Owen Wilson quote, by the way.
Yeah. Direct, yeah. That's in drill bit tailored.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with the trucks or anything. That was just Owen Wilson asking for sex.
Undercover sting operation.
Look at that. You got a
what's
sting doing
there?
Huh?
You got a good impression right there. Owen Wilson asking for sex.
How much is the sex?
Yeah.
Why are we throwing these sneakers up on the telephone? What's that about? Cops? What do you mean, cops? My Owen Wilson.
I thought this was for this is how you set up for street popsicles. We're just giving out candy. I don't know.
That's the most relevant Owen Wilson has been in years. I feel. What's
Maybe,
he done?
Don't kick a man while he's down.
Down. He's out of rehab. He's fine.
He's probably getting Google alerts right now. What is this 213 wide nut?
Rob, you want me to stretch out my what?
It's in the next balls. Wes Anderson movie.
Ball stretching?
Yeah, Owen Wilson stretching his balls out.
When I do a round of Owen Wilson one-liners, we all do a thing Owen Wilson would say.
Sure.
Oh my
one
God.
By one. Who wants to start?
Go for it. You Maybe? Brought up this idea.
Yeah, sure. Oh, the cashew chicken?
Is that a one-liner, or are we just saying sentences as Owen Wilson?
That's what I meant.
One line.
Because I'm, like, racking my brain for movie quotes.
Yeah.
No, he said that. That's in Bottle Rocket. You ever see Bottle Rocket?
Oh, yeah. We're just quoting Owen Wilson.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. A thing that Owen Wilson said in a movie.
Now you're making it hard.
Oh,
that was a joke, by the way.
Here's something he said.
Very South. He did not ask for a cashew chicken in the... Bottle Rocket.
We would have believed
Velcro
you.
Sneakers. Nice. I don't know if he actually said that.
Do you have any opium?
He probably did say that in Royal Tenenbaums.
Maybe.
I think he did.
A classic.
He has the most consistent haircut of all time. I don't think he's ever had a different... It's always just been that.
Like Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah.
The Farrah.
The Farrah haircut.
It's really distracting for me, the broken nose thing that he has going on. Like, I don't mean to be shy. I swear I'm not, like, it's just hard for me to focus on what's going on screen with that nose thing that he has.
I also have a broken nose. Is it hard for you to watch our show?
No, it doesn't. I couldn't have told that.
No, the contour on your nose makeup is so good, you don't even notice it's broken.
What makeup?
on your current makeup.
Your Jordan makeup.
Oh, my!
Of course.
Oh, right
Jordan.
Now.
Right.
Okay, yeah, perfect.
The human face makeup.
Right. No.
His nose looks like a broken penis.
Oh.
Have you seen a broken penis?
Yeah. She's seen a broken penis.
Don't ask her.
A crooked, maybe.
Wait. So what happened with your nose? Why do you have a broken nose?
Why are you taking away from nose crooked penis?
I
talk about a crooked penis.
She's too uncomfortable.
I don't know. You grow up. I was just in a lot of fist fights in high school. I've broken my nose so many times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm not like that way right now. Like, my arms look like tube socks. I'm in no shape. Should be swinging at anybody.
But you were in shape?
Used to be, yeah.
It's not really about being in shape. You just have to know how to fight.
I still know how to do that.
Yeah. You're good.
Right now,
yeah,
you
right.
can go.
Want to fight?
No one can see my
fighter.
The 1920s.
John Sullivan. Is that the guy's name?
Max Schmeling.
There you go.
Who's Max Schmeling?
An old boxer.
Yeah.
Come on, Rob. Let's go.
Where are we going?
Learn your history.
Peter Chicken Teeth. My favorite boxer.
Wait, what?
Peter Chicken Teeth?
Is that
Rob. Peter Chicken Teeth. Come on.
Depression era boxers. Come on.
Sorry, I don't.
You know a lot about the Depression.
I know.
I am.
What would Owen Wilson sound like playing Peter Chicken Teeth?
Jordan, give that a try.
His next turn. A trailer starring Owen Wilson as Peter... and the life story of Peter Chicken Teeth this summer.
Oh wow! I think you're gonna cut me. I'm swelling up.
Peter Chicken Teeth in theaters this summer.
Wow, Bart Rose sure throws a mean left hook.
Owen Wilson
Bart Roast?
Bart Rose.
Oh. I like Roast.
Bart the mom Roast.
Let's do a script edit. Just make it Roast.
Bart Roast.
Owen, you're dying out there, kid.
No, it's Peter.
Peter.
Peter. It's like a Tim and Eric production. They forget the lines halfway through. They call each other by the wrong names. Leave it in.
Peter Owen Chicken Teeth.
Peter Owen Chicken Teeth. I just imagined a chicken with teeth, and I am going to... It's just nightmares.
I'm imagining...
Like a beak and teeth.
Yeah, I'm imagining a guy with like a beak.
Do you take if you're a chicken with teeth? Do you just not have a beak and it's just like the weird finger head?
It's like a Guillermo del Toro monster.
Oh.
It's just a thumb with feathers and it just has like a row of teeth.
That's a good question. No, I think the beak itself would have the teeth.
Yeah, I think a beak with teeth is kind of scary. Beaks are already scary.
I mean, it'd be terrifying. It'd be really hard to do it. I feel like the beak would have to be open and then to fit the teeth and then. Couldn't really do much.
Well, that's why you're not God, because clearly you don't know how to design an animal.
I do not know how to design this animal, guys.
The chicken would need a lips to cover up the teeth.
Chicken lips?
Oh, my God.
This summer. Owen Wilson.
We're lit.
You got to get back in there, chicken lips.
I knocked out all my teeth.
Oh, wow.
I'm just left with lips.
My chicken lips are swelling up.
Noah used to have that, but she got surgery.
For my chicken lips?
Yeah, she got to trim down those chicken lips.
Under chicken lips is Luke Wilson, his brother.
That's direct to DVD.
Chicken teeth and chicken lips.
They got to fight each other.
Yeah.
It's the climax, right?
It's like Warrior with Tom Hardy with more fun hats.
And more chickens.
And more chicken references. There's no actual chickens in the movie.
It's metaphorical.
It's metaphorical.
It's the chickens you don't see.
Right.
There are a couple of grilled chicken sandwiches, though. Oh.
There's a lot
No,
of
it's the 40s. They only ate hamburgers.
El Duderino chants. Chicken lips, Rabba.
What?
We have a Rabba chant that we do on the
Rabba
show.
We do Rabba chants. That's Rabba.
That's me.
That's his name. Oh, okay.
I am Rabba.
Sid dubbed him Rabba a few years ago, and it stuck.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Even a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a sticker now.
Is it just like how like a grandma pronounces Robert?
Yeah.
Rabba.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
That's basically it. Very
Except
good.
His grandmother is Russian, so be Rabba. Rubber.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Buzz Bunny. Yeah.
That's not
that it?
Just go with it. He's a guest.
My mom is Russian. My dad is from Iran.
Are you going to do the joke?
I'm not
going to do it.
No. Iran.
Pronounce your own last name.
In a hurry. my last name is Paspani.
That's fine. It's great.
Thank you. I think it's great too.
Approved.
Now, when we were younger, you used to say Pazbani. Yeah.
I know. I realized it was wrong. I realized I was pronouncing it incorrectly. Pazbani. My whole life.
I just noticed a couple of years ago you started saying Pazbani.
Yeah. I realized it when I took a Russian class, and I had to write my name in Russian, and I wrote it Pazbani. And then this Russian girl was like, no, that's wrong. It's Pazbani. And I'm like... Wait a minute, you're telling me how to pronounce my own name?
What if she
but
was
then
just
I talked,
with you?
But then I talked... I'm not done with this joke.
Okay, well, I'm interjecting.
I talked to my dad. I feel like he's the expert here. And then he corrected me as well. It's Pazbani.
So your Why father you... never told you the correct pronunciation of your last name.
Well, I think what I was going on was my mother's Russian accent pronouncing the name.
Okay.
I think that's how I learned.
Getting too technical for me here.
Yes.
But, I'm going to say how I pronounce it with my flawless Russian accent is it sounds best. So go with that.
Okay.
Wait, what? You pronounce it. It sounds best. It doesn't
Buzz
sound
Bunny.
Like my name. Oh,
Buzz Bunny.
Yeah.
Buzz
Bunny.
Buzz
yeah.
Bunny.
Yeah, no, it's great.
It sounds like Bugs Bunny, so it's fun.
Oh, it does.
Paz Bunny. My
Buzz Bunny.
Paz Bunny.
I'm going to go with Rob Chicken Teeth. I
love that. Work? Rob a Chicken Teeth.
Rob a Chicken Teeth. Chicken Teeth. That turned into Borat.
Yeah.
Little.
Always does.
Little.
Yeah. Do we have that Putin clip from last week? That's
yeah.
what all of this reminds me of.
Oh, no. What's happening?
I'm Putin. You guys in a timeout. No Putin clip.
Putin was at some conference and he said,
don't
worry, be happy.
Oh, God.
And it's so
and
creepy.
We played it to death
last week. Good thing you weren't here last week and you're here this week.
Well, we're about
cool.
play it to death now, so
oh, could you,
we get to relive the moment.
Don't worry, be happy.
So creepy.
Followed by Megyn Kelly smiling ear to ear.
Yeah.
The creepiest.
That lady's getting shit on every week. This week it's because she's trying to interview Alex Jones and people don't want that to
I don't know if you've seen the trailer, but she's not actually trying
not.
To interview Alex Jones. She's just like, so Sandy Hook, what's your view?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Let's play it. Let's play the teaser. I think we should.
Oh, you have that?
Yeah, they posted like a trailer of it.
I don't
have it right
here.
I'm talking about sex. Talking about pee-pee.
I'll talk about sex and pee-pee all day.
Is he making fun of the way that we speak because we talk about sex and pee-pee?
Mm-hmm. This is when, what's his name?
Eric Andre tried
to crash it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he was like, oh, this guy's He's one of the
disinformation people.
Yeah.
He wants to talk about sex, talk about pee-pee.
Mother Gaia bless Eric Andre.
Yeah, so
what a hero.
He is. A real American hero.
He's authoritarian.
Here's the trailer. This is a clip. This
awakening.
Is a clip from the actual show that starts the interview. I think you could probably tell when it's a clip from his show and when it's a clip from the interview.
I'm having a hard time telling the difference.
His authoritarianism knows humanity's awakening, and it's moving against humanity on a planetary scale. The great global battle for the future of our species is being fought right now.
They call you the most paranoid man in America. Is that true?
Absolutely not. A paranoid person will be hiding out in their house, not venturing out in public. I go out there on the street and battle Black Lives Matter, the communists, point blank range.
We talked controversies.
That's it. Like, there's no...
Oh my God.
You know what my biggest problem is with Alex Jones is that that's a person who sounds like they should be a wrestling announcer that I don't like.
Yeah,
he sounds like a wrestling heel. I agree.
Like, there's another world where he had a different path, and I probably would have enjoyed hearing him talk about like tables and people going through them.
I don't know. Alex Jones.
He just sounds like if mayonnaise could smoke cigarettes.
I like that.
Such
and
a nightmare.
Conspiracy.
I feel like that's an insult to wrestling announcers. They try hard.
It's also an insult to mayonnaise.
Yeah. He sounds like the kind of guy that, like, if he worked at a Kmart in the South, people would be like, hey, you should make the lost kid announcement. Like, we got a kid up here. Anybody lose a fucking kid?
You don't want to put him with the lost kids.
He looks like part lizard.
I just want to know
smells like sulfur.
Well, I want to know where he and Spicer get their weaves from, because they're the same.
Yeah.
Oh, the wigs?
They both have the same weave. It's crawling back a little
called
bit.
Called a merkin.
I was going to say, they have that pattern, that hair pattern of where it's like a normal amount and shape of hair for a normal person, but their head's way too big. So
well,
it's sort
also,
of sitting on top of their head.
Their hairline is clearly receding, and it's right. kind of a comb over. It's an attempt at a comb over to hide the receding.
Right.
The receding hairline. But here's a little more.
Controversies and conspiracies. 9/11.
Now, 9/11 was an inside job. But when I say inside,
that's it. She's like, I'm going to give a bunch of things.
But wait, hold on. No, I'm not. I'm just being devil's advocate here. Isn't this like a trailer for her upcoming?
This is a trailer.
So maybe she does challenge.
But what a bad edit. Like,
yeah, it's true.
Even as a trailer, it's bad.
I guess 9/11. They want to draw in people that like Alex Jones also. So
but
like,
he immediately said to his fan base not to watch it because it's fake news.
Oh, really?
Because they're going to edit it to take... He's like, I don't speak in sound bites.
So why
gonna
fucking do it?
They're going to edit me down and misquote me.
It was
blah,
probably
blah.
Free food, let's be honest.
Yeah.
The craft services.
This whole thing just sounds like they interviewed a bot whose information is all just like Reddit comments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Controversies
and conspiracies. 9/11.
Now, 9/11 was an inside job. But when I say inside job, it means criminal elements in our government working with Saudi Arabia and others wanted to frame Iraq for it. Just a fact.
Sandy Hook.
Well, Sandy Hook's complex because I've had debates where we've devil's advocates said the whole story's true. And then I've had debates where I've said that none of it's true.
When
I've said like eight different things.
I would like to point out that he correlated being the devil's advocate to trying to argue that Sandy Hook was true.
Well, that is kind of a literal devil's advocate.
I think he literally meant that he was talking to a DVD cover of Devil's Advocate.
The movie Devil's Advocate.
Funny!
You?
No. Play it. I was going to tell a joke, but you can do that.
What were we going to say?
Go for it.
I think I was going to say he sounds like a bad Al Pacino impression in South Carolina. Okay, hit the tape.
Whoa!
Parents faked their children's death. People get very angry.
Yeah, well, that's all I know, but they don't get angry about the half.
People get very angry. Like, what do you even, like, listen to how she frames this question. Let me just go back a little, because she pissed me off in this clip more than he did.
Okay.
None of it's true.
When you say parent their children's death, people get very angry.
Yeah, well, that's all I know, but they don't get angry about the half million dead Iraqis from the sanctions, or they don't get angry about all the
illegal
stories.
That's a dodge.
No, it's not a dodge. The media never covers all the evil wars it's promoted, all the
big
things.
That doesn't excuse what you did and said about Newtown.
Here's the difference. I looked at all the angles of Newtown, and I made my statements long before the media even picked up on it. We didn't get any of the really important stuff.
What do you mean? We talk about all the important stuff.
Well, here's the big one they always make fun of me. You probably want to throw this in there. 30 years ago, they began creating animal-human hybrids.
Yeah.
Isn't that the big story Megyn Kelly should be doing?
What?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
what happened to do with Utah? What?
Oh my God. I actually wasn't sure if you were still playing the clip or just like the ending of They Live where Roddy's like talking to the homeless guy who's now rich. They're just like, it's great.
30 years ago,
talking about what's actually happening with aliens. Yeah.
30 years ago, they found a portal to hell. No one talks about Doom anymore. There's your real story.
You got this plumber. He just jumps into the pipes, eats some mushrooms.
Where does he go, people? Where does he go?
That impression was way better than your guys' Trump's impressions.
Yeah,
okay.
You guys are
nailing it.
I fully
nailing the Alex.
That my Trump is awful in these words.
You guys just sound like really confident rabbis. Which
Listen, my Trump is terrific. It's wonderful. It's at the airport.
You sound like that's Bernie Sanders. That's confident Bernie Sanders. I think confidence in Jews
this is the
just
best
doesn't match
Bernie Sanders accent. Period.
It actually is really good. I think it's better than Larry David.
I think unless you're very, very, very good at a Trump impression, what you actually should do is do an impression of a tiny little girl. Because that would probably bother him even more if you were just like,
I'm Donald Trump. I'm going to start a Muslim ban. I'm 70 years old and have Alzheimer's.
Like, that's what people should be doing for Trump. Or at least someone should really start like a Instagram or some social media bullshit where like they have their 6-year-old daughter read Trump's tweets every day.
It would make a lot of sense.
I don't have a 6-year-old
then
daughter.
Then they would probably be
cute.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, there's that guy.
And now it's sad.
Sassy Trump.
Have you seen Sassy Trump?
Sassy Trump is good.
Yeah. I have not seen Sassy Trump.
So what's the actor's name? Peter
Serafinowicz?
Serafinowicz? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love him.
He overdubs Trump speeches and he speaks in a sassy tone.
Like a Liberace-esque voice.
Like
Yeah. And to kind of just show like how sassy Trump's words sound.
Serafinowicz would be such a fucking good drag queen.
You're right.
He would be so good at like, oh God.
You guys watch Drag Race?
Email him
all the time.
Me and Rob, big huge fans.
Jordan's the that is the punk Drag Race thing that I tell you about at Brooklyn Bazaar. He's the one that told me about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, it's not like punk theme. It's just drag queens. Never mind.
We're out.
Okay.
You know what? I confuse your punk band.
Yes.
With I combine the two things
you did.
That you told me about.
But these are the drag queens that also watch wrestling all the time.
And that's how you got into wrestling.
That is literally how I got into it. Is through RuPaul's Drag Race. I loved it so much. And then we started, it's like the drag queens I was watching it with also just were like, we do this same, we have the same fun time watching like WWE wrestling.
How fun is wrestling?
I really like it now. Like, I was ironically into it a year ago. I was like, this is just fun to come and make fun of it. And now, like, I'm still not into, like, tough guy matches, but I, like, the Fashion Police and shit are everything to me. That's everything I've ever wanted out of, like, entertainment.
You're
it's
into
so
the comedy
funny.
And the goofy stuff and all the silly and stuff, the, more
and
so
and
than
the
actual wrestling.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do appreciate it. I appreciate it a lot. Actually, since I was on your wrestling podcast.
Yes, the Squared Circle Pit.
The Squared Circle Pit. And I said that I wasn't into Omega Okada 1. I watched Omega Okada 2. I liked it. I was into that one.
Now you're into the deep stuff, the New Japan.
Yeah, the deep stuff.
Bob is a great resource for wrestling stuff. I'm also a late bloomer to wrestling. I started watching like maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. Obsessed.
Yeah. It's so fun. Well, because I didn't know. I thought it was all I thought it was just Linkin Park songs and Big Shorts and like just everybody was just like a tribal tattoo that walked around. But watching it, like seeing all this, like I got into it with I'm in when I saw like the New Day come out in the cereal box.
I love New Day.
It was a big cereal box full of bagels. It was the best thing
Booty-os,
I've ever seen.
Come on.
And then they danced out in paper mache Dragon Ball armor. It was the best thing I've ever seen. It was hilarious.
Are you into wrestling too, Drew?
No, and not for any particular reason. Just, I don't know.
He likes to watch the Royal Rumble with us.
The Royal Rumble is really fun. Well, we do a thing. Our friend Sam, we know a lot of Sams. It's a different Sam than the
300 Sams.
You know one Sam. These are all the same set.
Uncle Sam, God
Uncle
bless
Sam.
This great nation. we do this thing Royal Rumble.
Rumble night, yeah.
Yeah, the first night of Rumble-ka, the Rumble Hanukkah. We have as many friends as we can come over, and you put in money into a hat, and we write down 100 numbers, like 1 through 100.
It's 30. 30?
Is it 30?
It's only 30, dude.
Great. And...
70 people are really out of shit
they
out
just,
of luck.
Like, missed out. But yeah, so you get these numbers, and whatever number you get, the time that they come in, that's your person. So it's completely random. You could get anybody.
Oh, that's so fun.
And it's a really fun
just,
game.
You know, and we're just it's a lot of people. You pregame, everybody's wasted. We're screaming, like trying to be the funniest person in the room, like at any given time. And it's the best way to watch wrestling. I would do that. Every week.
That's literally what we do when we watch every other one with the you just haven't watched another one with us.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Yeah.
You just have to get in on a storyline because I would watch WrestleMania and SummerSlam with Rob and Darren because they're like the really funny commentators.
Yeah.
And then one time I was watching SummerSlam and there was the whole like Rusev and Lana and Summer Rae storyline where there was like Trouble in Paradise. And,
I don't remember this.
It was probably before your time. It was a great storyline because I on Monday I was like, wait, I need to know what happened.
What's next?
Does he end up with Summer Rae or does he end up with Lana? And is she what blazer is she gonna wear?
That the story stuff I got into because I saw the Max Landis video, the
wrestling
the
isn't wrestling.
I saw that, and when he talks about how wrestling is the only narrative art form where you would literally have to write something you have to write something for someone to do 3 times a week at least. Mm-hmm. 3 times a week you have to a character that you made that is made up has to be written what like 3 times a week for decades, and that's insane. That is insane. Even though the story
too bad they can't pull it off.
I can never pull it. It's so cheesy and it's terrible, but when it's
so good,
I'm just so curious just if they can do it. That's so my whole thing.
Sometimes they do pull it off, and when it is done right, it is fantastic.
Right, it's but amazing. It's a little bit oversaturated is the problem. I mean, when wrestling was at its peak, you know, they didn't have 5 hours of wrestling every single
week.
Yeah, it was
like week. Two.
That's
two,
crazy.
Maybe three.
Yeah.
I don't watch even near all of it. But I watched some clips this morning. There was a bear set. Bear. Yeah. I love just. Did a whole match is like everyone was like, who's this bear? He's this dressed big teddy bear. And he's in the tag match. I love that. Like, well, that's what I'm here for. Like that and like Fashion Police. That's what I want all the time.
You want to be sports entertained.
Sure.
You want to be entertained.
What I read today, I think I sent you this in the chat, that that someone was claiming that there was a rumor that the guy in the bear suit was caught like years ago backstage, was photographed in a bear suit banging one of the ring rats, like the groupies, wrestling groupies.
And that's terrible.
They call them rats. Yeah. The wrestlers call them that. That's not my term.
I think it's a little I bet it's a little outdated, but it's a wonderful slang.
And that was the bear.
I would like to point out that a man can also be a ring rat. It's not gender specific.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
So it's very
it's equally degrading to both sexes.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that guy, they gave him that as that gimmick as a nod to that incident.
So he was like in an Adam Rose thing or something.
Sort of.
So there's like there's a thing that you're leaving out, which is that so he wasn't the wrestling bear beforehand.
No.
Just for some reason he was having sex while wearing a bear costume. Backstage.
He was cold.
Yeah.
The only costume not in use.
And the rumor is that's the same bear costume that
that he came in.
That he came out. Oh God.
What a smelly bear costume.
Poor Dean.
Are you the bear costume? Give us a call. 213.
If you can help us. Yeah.
Help us find this bear costume. 213-WIDE-NUT. That's 213-943-3688. We got area code 847.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, can I give a shout out to
hold on, after our call.
Oh.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
No, they were trying to talk.
Hello. This is First Lady of
First
America.
Melania.
Calling from my new home.
How are you?
Are you calling from the White House,
she
Melania?
Just moved in?
You sound sick.
Yes, I am calling. Yes. Who interrupted me?
That was Jordan.
Hi.
I am here to use this platform to talk about my cyber worldwide web bullying.
I have a question. How is your accent going from Slovakian to Indian? Like a back and forth between the two.
I am from Slovenia. This is Melania calling, First Lady of America.
Isn't you from Slovakia?
No, Slovenia.
Slovenia. I just meant like a Slavic is what I meant. How is it going from Slavic to Indian?
Well, you have any more material? I mean, do you have anything else you want to ask us?
Yes, my good friend told me to call you, the leader of my Negro constituents, Mr. Stephen Harvey. He said you are commit a lot of worldwide web bullying.
All right.
It's always Steve Harvey with you guys.
Yeah. We love to hate Steve Harvey.
But we don't need to use that word.
Hate?
We do not.
We dislike greatly.
Never mind.
Love?
We know what word you're saying, but we're also not going to say it because we shouldn't say it.
Right.
So
right.
I'm nodding.
He didn't say that word.
He said something close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still derogatory.
He said it as the count.
Not worth
anyway,
it.
Anyway, before that weird Adam Sandler tape showed up.
Who did you want to give a shout out to?
I want to.
Sorry, that was not worth cutting you off, George.
Since we transitioned into like wrestling talk, I do want to give a shout out to the ladies that got me into wrestling, the nobodies, and now they have a cool new web show that I helped them produce, where they just do the first drag queen wrestling review show, and it's really fun. It's doing really well, I think.
Hilarious. It is pretty amazing. You did one for the last pay-per-view Backlash, the two pay-per-views ago, and I posted it to the wrestling Reddit. Not knowing how the people would react, like thinking like, oh, people are going to probably shit on this, but it'll be interesting to see there.
There's a lot of like bro and like kind of somewhat homophobia in that group.
There was none on the thread.
Everyone was so positive about it. And the thing that I love the most about the response is that people really wrestling, these nerdy hardcore wrestling fans, of which I am one,
right,
really appreciated a take from a person who is not at all a hardcore wrestling fan, which are the
Lady Barica
and also Ariel Italic to a certain extent.
Ariel, a casual watch.
Ariel obviously is more knowledgeable than Lady Barica.
Right.
But
Ariel's been watching longer than I have, for sure. But yeah, she's not. It's cool to see the three pillars, because Eric watches everything.
DJ Accident Report.
DJ Accident Report. I'm sorry. DJ Accident Report. Watches everything and is the most knowledgeable. They're just like a really, even without the gimmick of them being drag queens and like a team of like nightlife people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They still have a good actual dynamic. I think it would be interesting to listen to them even without the makeup and the wig.
Yeah, no, it's hilarious. And I love the rap form.
You can't escape DJ Accident Report. He is everywhere.
What is your favorite line?
Lola
or favorite
thought that was the doorbell.
That,
she's going crazy.
Their favorite riff on a joke.
I think my favorite was when Barica said that Neville's hair looks like Dean Ambrose has wet extensions. I think that was my favorite.
I liked it when Lady Barica called Samoa Joe Samoa Joseph. That was very good.
I think I planted that in her head because I say Samoan Joseph.
Samoa Joseph. I love it. I love it. Any sort of slight mispronunciation of names always works for me.
That's a weird, that's a weird thing that I do.
Like Pezbani?
Or Rabba?
Pezbani.
But yeah, shout out, watch it. The show's called Nobody's Watching Wrestling, and they're very funny. It's doing really well. Even people that don't like wrestling like it, too. They just like to see these weird outfits actually critiqued.
Yeah, the wrestling outfits.
The wrestling outfits, yeah.
Which I feel no one's ever really done a show critiquing gear.
They're
too busy focusing on the wrestling.
And how fake it is.
That's where I came up with the idea for the show, is because that's the first thing that I was introduced to it with, is them talking about the outfits.
Yeah.
Like, when I first started watching, I would just text when they would actually wrestle. But when they came out with their... with the Limp Bizkit music and stuff, we'd be talking about the runway and stuff, and then
them walking down the stage.
Who's your favorite outfit in wrestling currently?
My favorite everything in wrestling is Charlotte. My favorite wrestler is Charlotte. I think that she works as both a bad guy and a good guy. I love that they're turning her into what I guess I understand is the female version of The Rock, where she refers to herself in third person and is just really confident.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think it works so well. I think, and she's just genuinely good. Everything she does is awesome.
She's great, yeah.
And she's what when we did the drag punk band, I was oh, that's what I wanted to look like. I wanted to just look like a strong,
genetically
Amazon,
superior woman.
Yeah.
I just wanted to look like Super Mario if he was pretty.
I think you pull it off.
Jordan's called me on multiple occasions the punk rock Bob Hoskins.
Yeah. Let's talk about something that Drew likes. Transformers or Dragon Ball? Which one?
Well, one thing I wanted to talk about is I picked you guys up from your apartment, and you live in Jewville.
Oh, yeah, it is.
We were
sedic.
We were.
Park?
No. The Jewish part of is it Williamsburg? Still considered? Was it Bushwick?
We're in Bushwick.
Oh
yeah, it's not actually a very scenic neighborhood, but it's all owned by all that property is owned by the same Hasidic family.
Oh, your landlord's Hasidic?
Yes. And
it was so funny when
they
have
17 brothers, and they were all out when you picked us up because they're building a building next to us.
I just saw that they were out scouting.
They were
property.
They were building for Sukkot. They were building the hut. I forgot what
they were assuring that the contractors were just gluing the wood together.
Right. And so when you guys walked in the car, I was just look, guys, I got to say, I freaking hate Orthodox Jews. And I had to qualify it
by adding that I was a Jew.
Right? Yes.
And then you guys comforted me in letting me know that we were all part of the chosen
tribe.
Yes.
That allows you to say that.
So then we were freely talking about our hatred of Orthodox Jews. We all dislike that. Dislike, not all of them. Some of them are not. I like Solomon.
I mean, yeah, we have one that listens to the show occasionally who's a nice one.
I have a question.
He likes the Monomarth.
Question,
but for the most part.
Oh, hell yeah, that guy rules.
Question for the room now. So being that we're all Jews, being that we all have a dislike for Orthodox Jews, would you think it was socially weird or awkward if someone who's not Jewish,
I'm
going to
say probably already,
like really hated Orthodox Jews.
I'm so waiting to get written up into a think piece right now. I haven't said anything, but I'm already looped
this
in
is
with anti-Semites.
This is a Jezebel warning waiting.
That's an excellent question. It's hard to say.
Yeah. I think something in me, like my lizard brain.
I think as a Jew, and I'm from upstate New York, from near this town called Kiryat Shaul, which is like the largest per square inch population of Jews, other than Hasidic Jews, other than Brooklyn and Israel. So it's like this just town, and there's a lot of animosity towards Hasidic Jews there for a lot of different reasons, between taxes and all sorts of crazy stuff.
The scheming.
Culture. Yeah,
drinking
baby
blood.
Well, no, I mean,
that
it's
that alarm
a real
that
thing.
Rings
there
on Friday
a
night.
Lot of, there were a lot of like illegal activities that were done in that community and tax evasion and things like that. And so there's a lot of animosity. And you grow up hearing that. You hear someone be like, literally, like someone comes to me like, "Oh, I fucking hate Jews. Not you. You're a cool Jew." And I'm like, "Oh, what am I supposed to do with that? How do I identify?"
Thanks.
Yeah, but
that is definitely a weird comment.
Yeah, but no, but that's a real thing. So I don't. When I think it, like, I don't hate Orthodox or Hasidic Jews, but I definitely know.
You're right. I don't hate Orthodox or Hasidic.
Yeah, I definitely
I
know
hate
that
Brooklyn
joking.
Orthodox.
We're not going bananas.
I mean, I'm from Colorado, where everyone just looks like Sandra Bullock.
How
so?
Is there a Jewish town in college? Is there like a Jewish community?
Not really. I mean, there isn't really one. So I
are
only
you really
just,
Jewish?
Yeah. My mom is from Bayside, Queens.
Oh, okay.
Which is...
How does she end up
in
Colorado?
His dad is from a potato latke.
Yeah. my dad actually isn't Jewish, but I've been...
Is it a potato
latke? my dad is like Finnish and English, which is probably why my head looks like a basketball.
I can see that.
But yeah, it definitely... It is large and it is round and it is haunted my whole life. And if only... But yeah, I don't know. I've never until you told the story, I had no idea that was like a thing that even so happened.
People hate Jews.
Well, that people hate Jews for that reason. Even nowadays, like I just was like they just they're just intense and they don't chill. And Hasidic, they're always sweating. I've never seen one that was not sweating.
Well, the thing that really bothers me about them is I feel like they talk down to you if you are not Orthodox, which is like, you know, screw you. You know, like,
well, they think they're the chosen people.
Yeah. They know.
They know that, yeah.
They know they're the chosen. And so because you're not chosen, you're not worthy of their time.
I think
that's
yeah,
fucked up.
Like they're in a band and everyone else is a punisher.
I've met people that have left the Orthodox community. Like I have a friend who left. First off, if you leave the Orthodox community, you get a book deal instantly. So it's a great option.
Great career move.
Yeah, great career move. Can't
the New York Post writes about you.
Yeah, you'll get a sitcom on ABC. That's my Jew. but it's like people leave it for those reasons because there's a lot of it's a strange community of people who believe a certain thing and think shun anyone who doesn't. So imagine, you know, like they may be giving you look down to you because of your actions. Imagine being in that community and having to deal with that every day where you are don't necessarily believe what is being told to you. That's a very interesting thing to me, and that's
totally
why I've read all 376 books about it.
Have you really
read
a book?
I've never read a book in my life. you guys are sponsored by Audible, right? I could really use a book on tape or 7,000.
We were at some point, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
What podcast wasn't?
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
You guys Blue Apron people?
We're HelloFresh people currently.
Yes. Oh, which is way better. HelloFresh is my favorite. I use
That's right. And if you haven't signed up yet and enter Metal Injection 30 at checkout, get $30 off your first order.
Can we get Alex Jones to do a promo for that?
HelloFresh people! Those competitors, they deliver it right to your door. All the freshest ingredients.
The competitor sent you fruits to turn your kids gay.
There's no pee-pee. You'll never find pee-pee in a HelloFresh box. Damn it. I get angry. I'm sorry. I get wound up. I get wound up by these lizard people. I mean to talk about HelloFresh, not lizards. No sulfur smell. HelloFresh, order it now.
The freshest lizards.
I'm a man. I eat. I have sex. I'm coming.
Ugh.
Not in the HelloFresh box.
No, not there.
Direct quote.
The PR guy should probably be emailing you any minute.
We don't have a spot today, thank goodness.
We have hate mail, Rob.
We do. We also have a voicemail. We could start with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes, if you want to leave a voicemail, you could go to our website, metalinjection.net/livecast, and look at the Speak Pipe widget. You could do that. Or record a voice memo with your phone and email hatemail@metalinjection.net. Easy peasy.
Brenda Quaid.
What is that?
The Ascension to Heaven.
Yep.
That's their own show meme.
Yep. Jordan and I are big fans of the ham horn application.
We love it.
We make our own little samples. For example, are you guys Rush fans?
Sure. Yeah.
Subdivisions.
That's a Rush song called Subdivisions.
Fun fact about ham horn. Drew and I love it so much that we sometimes I'm in a pop punk karaoke band, which is weird because I don't really like pop punk music, but I have we do a show every other month that's either at Brooklyn Bazaar or St. Vitus, and when we did it at St. Vitus, Drew, who's not in the band, hooked up ham horn to the sound system, showing Nick Caggio, the sound guy at St. Vitus, how to do it. And Drew would just ham horn our set the entire we do a 3-hour set.
Oh my
and
God.
Just every time. Yeah, well, it's a show where like the audience can sign up and they sing the songs with us and they all get like wasted and it's very fun. But Drew was just ham horning the entire time and Nick thought it was the funniest thing ever and then actually just started ham horning actual band.
Oh,
we're coming through.
He ham-horned Buzz Oven.
He ham-horned Buzz Oven.
DJ Cappy!
My alter ego.
With that said, here's
don't,
some voice.
Don't ham-horn our voicemail.
She's a
don't
lady.
Worry. Be happy.
That needs to be the ham-horn.
Don't worry. I don't have ham horn yet, so I have to do it manually.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
So is it you could just record yourself doing a sound?
Yeah.
I see. Ham horn. Enter promo code Metal Injection.
30.
No. All right, here's a voice.
Don't worry.
Oh, no, he called her.
Thank you, Putin.
All our voicemails are Putin. Okay.
Hey, guys. This is Kyle from Michigan. I left a voicemail earlier in the week asking everybody a question, leaving Sid a compliment.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I played the wrong one. Let's play the first
compliment. I'm excited.
Hey, guys. This is Kyle from Michigan. I have a question for the people that use butt wipes. I was wondering if you take them with you into public places, or if you just
played that one.
Okay,
and answered that.
Okay. Yeah, we answered that.
The Beatles. Bill Pullman.
The Beatles one sounded like Darren.
Did it?
Go hear that. The Beatles.
Thank you.
Drop again.
The Beatles.
Yeah.
Don't sound like me.
My favorite thing is anybody doing like an impression that also does it like they were a Pokemon. Like, for example,
Nicolas Cage. My mom is sick.
Aw, that's a sad one.
That's a sad one. All right. Should we talk about butt wipes now?
Right? No, we talked about that one.
He played
last week.
Yeah. Oh,
so he basically asked if we carry butt wipes with us. For the people that use them,
I'm an avid fan of butt wipes, but I do not carry them with me like around the city. But if I travel, I carry them. That was my answer.
Are you guys
butt wipes or toilet paper?
No, we're like one ply, like whatever we can. We're the bodega.
Scott. The 50-cent tissue.
Yeah, we're like less than Scott. We're like Evan.
Great value.
Evan, we spend all our money on a squatty potty, so we can't afford the nice stuff.
You did Amazon Prime a squat. We could have just, which is a stool.
Yeah,
you don't.
You can just make it.
You can literally put anything in front of the toilet.
Hey guys, it's Kyle from Michigan.
Sorry.
Okay.
That's
squatty potty is we just all like they did the right thing by like putting a unicorn that shits ice cream in the commercial, because otherwise it's literally an advertisement for just a stool.
Well, that's actually, there was a big, like, ad agencies did case studies about this video, because it was like, oh, because they made such a funny thing, that's why it was selling so well, because it's a dumb product.
It worked.
I think so. I think, comedy is a really good tactic to get kind of any subject over.
But no butt wipes for you. Have you guys ever used a butt wipe?
I have. They're great. I just don't. I just forget.
You don't have the budget.
It's not. It hasn't stuck in my brain that I should just do that.
Like you say, stuck in your butt.
I've never actually heard of them. Is this basically just like Pampers for adults?
It's like wet wipes.
Yeah. Does it come in a box that has like little bears on it or anything?
Yes.
Probably.
It does or doesn't?
It does.
That's what I want. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, those are readily available.
Great. Okay, great. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so
here's Kyle from Michigan's current voicemail.
Hey guys, it's Kyle from Michigan. I'm a couple drinks in and I smoked a little bit, which I have not done in about a week. So I'm pretty, you know, like on level like 8 or 9 right now. But anyway, I have a question.
He sounds so fucked up, doesn't he, guys? No.
If you know Kyle, like we know Kyle.
Yeah.
It's like kind of one of those like precursors to a statement that makes you just go,
I relate to that though, because I also usually try to start off every voicemail with a cry for help. So
or just want to let you know that like, I'm real fucked up right now. Like usually you should start with like crying, and he's not doing that.
Yeah.
So
it's not very believable.
Probably fine.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but now let me ask you.
I am creeped out about it.
Question for all of you. I'm sorry if I'm talking too fast. Just gotta try and keep up. Rob, I know you have a lackluster opinion of Summer Slaughter. I was just wondering if you're actually going to go this year, because I would like to see Rings of Saturn personally. I think the new album's going to be sweet. You should check it out and play it on the live cast.
Okay.
No.
Rob, I want to know if you're going, because I think, like, anyway, yes, I am excited for this year's lineup, mainly for the headlining two acts. Black Dahlia Murder, who always deliver live, and Dying Fetus, who have a very special place in my heart.
Who else is on the bill?
Rings of Saturn, who I'm actually not a fan of. Sorry, Kyle from Michigan.
I like Rings of Saturn, and I'll tell you how I found out about Rings of Saturn, is that I watched a YouTube video of a guy playing drums with his cat in his lap so that it would look like the cat was playing, and he's wearing a Rings of Saturn shirt, and I said, that's the kind of person who I take musical advice from.
And it worked.
Have you actually listened to Rings of Saturn?
I've listened to Rings of Saturn.
Oh, okay.
And I've also tried to play drums with my cat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can show
how
you
did it
stars.
Go?
They all just all those deathcore bands end up sounding like them, Oceano. They're just like ends up sounding repetitive. The Faceless, if they show up, I like them.
If they show
if
up,
they show
they've
up.
Been canceling.
Why?
Is that a threat?
Yeah.
Well, they can't if like. They what's the thing? They can't keep a singer. Is that their thing?
No.
The whole band keeps quitting.
Just the singer.
It's the guitarist.
They had a singer, and then the guitarist became the singer.
No, well, like he does clean vocals, but it's like his band. He's like the Trent Reznor of the band, the guitarist. It's you know, like Nine Inch Nails is just Trent Reznor and
right.
I mean, you know, he's had Robin Thicke and all that, but Robin Thicke? No, that's not his name. Robin Thicke.
Robin Thicke.
So. they were supposed to go on a tour of Australia, and they kept missing their flights for some reason. Mm-hmm. Like, they missed three different flights, and then they had to cancel the tour, and then the promoter kind of put them on blast about it. And then they canceled the European tour. Their last three tours basically got canceled, and then they announced that they're going to be on this tour. So people are like, are they?
Yeah, and you never know.
And there's always a convoluted excuse every time.
That's probably.
As to why it wasn't their fault.
I haven't kept up with Black Dahlia Murder in a while, but I remember they're fun dudes. Like,
they're
very fun dudes. They always have
fun on stage, and they're going to be playing an album called Nocturnal, which has 10th year
anniversary. I remember that.
They're going to be playing it in full.
I think that was the last album I listened to. That was the 2009 album?
Seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
10 years.
I think it was the last. I want to keep up with it, but I kind of fell off with the At the Gates style.
That's
metal
every
band.
Album. Oh,
yeah, every album.
Every album.
Just all
well,
of
what
the
I
band.
Like about
like,
Black Dahlia is it's very much like comfort food. You put a new one on, it's like, there they are. You know,
yeah.
Like, it's I don't want to say it's exactly, it's the same because they're different songs.
Totally.
But the sound and the tone is very familiar.
I've been weird with that style of music. Like, I always want to go, like, if I want to hear that kind of stuff, like, I will, I think it feels like nostalgic, so I will always go back to just like Miasma or Darkest Hours, like Undoing Ruin, like that.
Yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
Like, because that was like the prime.
Darkest Hours, excellent as well. Check out.
I really want to.
It's really good. Yeah, listen to it.
Those guys
are really good.
Those guys are super solid.
Yeah,
they're really fun at that. When we did the band show where we did the Guar sketch.
Yeah.
With the paper robots.
They played with Mutoid Man.
They did play with Mutoid Man. They literally played with Mutoid Man.
Yeah.
Cute.
Oh.
House of Vans, keep doing that big paper monster robot fights during the shows. That was the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Okay. Well, there's a little more to this list.
Oh, boy.
Darren, I want to know what are your favorite songs from Load and Reload?
Let's see. I would say... I really don't like Reload, but I would say the last song on that was it Fixer. That would be my favorite song from Reload. Load, I pretty much love the entire album. Bleeding Me would be my number one favorite song on Load. 2x4, Ronnie, I think is a really good song, like country song. Yeah, I'm like somehow now known as the one person that likes Load. I guess so.
Fixer is the last track on Reload.
Which
I
album?
Like that's a good nothing. Song.
Oh yeah,
King Nothing
is on
Load.
Yeah, I'm on Load. Yeah.
Reload's a terrible album.
Drew, Load and Wide Nuts.
You mean 213 Wide Nuts?
If only 213 was Load, that'd be great. Like if that.
That'd be it'd be hilarious.
On the. Anyway,
Wide Load.
There's a little more. There's a little more to this voicemail.
Sid, I have a compliment for you. I fucking was pretty scared of you at first, but ever like.
I can't.
Oh,
What happened? He was scared of you at first.
Okay.
And then I didn't hear.
Yeah, he fell into a toilet.
He was asking you to marry him.
As a high person saying he was scared of you.
I like that.
Let's go back a little.
I am pretty intimidating.
What are your favorite songs from Load and Reload?
Okay.
Sid, I have a compliment for you. I fucking was pretty scared of you at first, but ever, like, this is
you can't hear him because he's microwaving his phone right now. Cold.
This is such a tease. I love compliments, and I can just hear the beginning of it and not the actual meat of the compliment.
Hold on.
You only heard the part of the compliment where I put you down.
Yeah.
I'm scared of you.
No, I take that as a compliment, too.
That's pretty fucking cool, dude. And I agree with a lot of what you say. I think they respect you kind of like that, and I fucking love you, so.
Oh, all right. I'll take that. Thank you. I don't know what the middle part was, but all right. Well,
he agreed with you, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But you're pretty fucking cool, man. All right, I guess he has something for Noah, too.
Noah, I was just wondering, considering your post-relationship status, I was just wondering how often you find yourself listening to Periphery, if at all.
I don't listen to Periphery anymore.
Is that because you just never liked them and you only listened because you had to?
I did like them. I think it's good music. I just can't listen to it.
Look at her avoiding eye contact with Darren as she answers
bad
this
memories.
Question.
It
brings back memories, and I don't want to think of those memories anymore.
Okay. There you have it.
No, I dated one of the dudes in periphery. Just because you guys are like, what's going on?
Yeah. I think I think it's the periphery guy. They have a singer named Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was in From First to Last for a little bit, right? Yeah. Their guitarist and scream guy, Travis Richter, has done like a lot of work and helped out Mrs. Woman a lot. He did the first some of the first mixes for a lot of the sketches for 2 minutes. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, but
shout
we have a weird
Travis,
connection. Shout out to Travis. He's awesome. Human Abstract is awesome.
Human Abstract is so good.
They were really good.
Voice, Human Abstract was,
he was
so good. That last album.
Yeah,
was
that was
flawless.
Him. That's Digital Veil is Travis Richter on vocals.
Oh, so good.
He's so good. He has a really cool he and the drummer from First to Last actually have a really cool like early Converge style noise band called The Color of Violence. It's really, really good. It's like really bizarre, like grind. It's like dance grind. I don't know. Like
What's it called?
They got weird. It's called The Color of Violence.
Check it out.
It's really weird and cool.
All right. There's a little bit more to the smell.
Let's keep going.
Because they're definitely one of my favorite bands. And so, yeah, I fucking love you guys. I actually had a fucking weird dream about you that I was hanging out with all you guys last night. And it was weird. And I imagine just fuck out.
Microwave the phone again.
Yeah.
I have to say, my favorite.
It's frozen in the middle.
My favorite compliment is when a live cast listener tells me they had a dream about us. About hanging out with us. Like, not about anything weird with us, but just the idea.
That's your dream.
Yeah. I have dreams about something weird, doing something weird
about
to live
someone hanging
fans.
Out with you.
Yeah, No, just the idea that like they listen to us so much that their subconscious mind gives them dreams about us. I love that. That's marketing, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a dream where like Arsenio raped me, but that's for a different show.
Is that a dream or
Arsenio doesn't do that. He wouldn't do that.
He's a gentle soul.
He gently talks with his limp wrist like this. You can't see that because this is a podcast.
I believe Kyle left another voice.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Maybe he clears up what he said about Sid.
Prolific.
Hey, guys. This is Kyle from Michigan. I left a voicemail earlier in the week asking everybody a question, leaving Sid a compliment. But
there
I was wondering, since I already had my question answered actually just today on an archive for Durinsky's favorite songs from Load and Reload, he didn't say what song his favorite would be from Reload, so I'm wondering if you could pick just one from that album. For me, I would probably say The Outlaw Torn.
That's Load.
It's like
the
a 9-10 minute epic at the last track.
What is it?
The Outlaw Torn is on Load, not Reload.
Oh, so he was wrong.
How high and drunk is he that he forgot to tell you that he's high and drunk?
True.
Good point.
It's like a 9-10 minute epic. If you could pick just one from that album. For me, I would probably say The Outlaw Torn. It's like a 9-10 minute epic at the last track of the album. So, just wondering. Other than that, I'm wondering if you guys have any guilty pleasure artists that you enjoy listening to in your spare time that you may or may not want to admit on the podcast. But curious. Anyway, I love you guys, and I hope you have a great motherfucking show.
Thank you.
No need for profanity.
I feel there's no such thing as a guilty pleasure. You shouldn't feel guilty for liking something. If you like it, you like it. There's no. If somebody judges you for what music you like, unless it's ICP, it's fine.
Well,
no, I'm kidding.
Why don't
ICP.
We rephrase the question? What's a surprising band that you listen to? Like what?
For
people,
me, a surprising band would be a metal band.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, we weirdly don't listen to a lot of metal for having a metal talk show.
No, definitely. Yeah.
Let's see. Surprising. I don't know. I've basically all of my what some would consider guilty pleasures have been revealed and mocked on the show.
Chromeo,
yeah,
Chromeo, Justice.
Love Chromeo.
Oh, love Justice. I love Chromeo. I'm like not as hot. I'm not like, I had that honeymoon phase, and I was super into them. But I think I listened to them so much because they were, like, the first dancey band.
Future Island.
I like Future Island. I like their new album.
They're good.
Thank you, gentlemen. These people all thought that I liked Future Island as a goof, like that I didn't really like them, but I was
good.
It was a put on.
I didn't really think that. I was playing that up for the show.
Okay.
I believe that you sincerely like
wishful
them.
Thinking on my part.
You've seen that video of them at South by Southwest where he's like growling the lyrics. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. I was at that South by Southwest.
That's great.
I was the year that they broke after Letterman, after that Letterman performance.
Right.
We were at South by, and they played 8 times at South by, and I saw all but one of those performances.
Yeah.
It was just me and my – they were the band of that South by for me and my crew.
And Rob was also wearing Zumba pants to those shows.
That was the following year, our crew all wore Zubas. We were the Zubas.
What's that?
The Zubas?
Yeah.
Oh, the most comfortable pant.
Their sponsor?
It's like big parachute shorts.
Just Google Zubas. It'll be a better – it's zebra-striped – loose sweatpants.
They look like
they look like JNCO jeans, but if they were made out of like ladies' leggings, it's awesome.
That's accurate.
It's like what a steroid guy would wear in the gym.
Bitch, no.
Plug talk, Lee.